RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Trump assassination attempt. I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump says it's more important than ever that we stand united after he was injured Saturday in an assassination attempt in western Pennsylvania. Eyewitnesses telling their stories of what happened at that rally. Leonard Verdetto says,
it sounded like firecrackers, really, you know, but then would realizing like, oh, man, shots were happening. That's when we actually duck. So we came to full solution, like, oh, this is shooting that's happening.
The shooter was killed by Secret Service snipers, identified as a 20-year-old man from western Pennsylvania. Law enforcement's concerned there are explosives in his vehicle. They're working to make sure the area is safe. One person was killed in the shooting. He's been identified as 50-year-old volunteer fire chief Corey Comparator. Two others were hurt. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are being briefed on the investigation into the shooting. This is ABC News. The world remembering Richard Simmons after the weight loss and self-help guru died at 76. ABC's Chris Connolly says he was known for his relentless positivity and optimism.
Richard Simmons was America's most popular and irrepressible fitness advocate, an energizer bunny of ceaseless encouragement. Richard Simmons' concern for the health of his public was very real. His advocacy on behalf of kids' self-esteem, even leading him to testify before Congress years ago.
I wanted to make sure that they knew the other side of Richard Simmons. And I put a suit on and I went to Washington. And people told me I looked good. And that I sounded good and I made sense. And that's going to be my legacy.
A new dinosaur is going on display at the Los Angeles Natural History Museum called Natalie because of the bugs that swarmed when the dinosaur was dug up. Notable because it has green bones. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A recent poll shows how older voters view the race for president. Mike Moan reports.
The poll in this crucial battleground state, released by AARP, was conducted right after the first debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. In Wisconsin, Trump now leads Biden by 6 percentage points among voters 18 and up, according to this new survey. Pollster Bob Ward helped lead the effort, and he points out that a very high percentage of voters 50 and older are extremely motivated to cast their ballot, more so than younger populations.
There's typically a motivation gap, but not by the size that we're seeing now. And that's what makes this election really different and why it makes the voters 50 plus such a key deciding block in the electorate.
83% of voters 50 and older said a candidate's position on Social Security is very important in shaping their vote. Medicare was at 72%. More than 1,000 likely voters around Wisconsin were interviewed, with an oversampling of nearly 450 likely voters past the age of 50. The age of the leading presidential candidates is dominating national rhetoric about the election, but Ward emphasizes that under this poll, voters strongly indicate they're not too happy about their economic situation.
The debate had its impact on this race, but I think the fundamentals of this race is that people are really feeling an economic pinch.
Despite a strong jobs market, economic factors like inflation and rising prices were cited as a key concern among older adults. Ward says it appears President Biden is taking the blame for that sentiment, but overall, both candidates are not looked at favorably. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some showers and storms early, then mostly sunny skies developing. High temperatures today will warm to the lower 90s, but the heat index will be in the upper 90s. Our winds turning to the northwest. Some late night storms overnight. It's 81 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are powered by Everlight Solar. And here's my conversation with Stephen Olicara. Thanks for coming in, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Second appearance on the Cripescast.
Yes.
And a lot's changed with you since. So kind of like catch us up.
Yes. Well, I think the last time I was on was just as the podcast was getting off the ground in 2020, I think. So we're in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's wild to think that was maybe 4 years ago.
I know. Time flies. Holy smokes. It is crazy.
Yeah.
But since then, you have kind of, you've gone from sort of focusing on getting millennials engaged in politics.
Right.
To now you're looking more at civility in politics.
Yeah.
And kind of bringing that back into which I think is incredibly important, given the fact that we are in kind of a post-truth, full-on anger mode when it comes to what people see on TV.
Right.
But when you talk to people in person, most of them are like, I don't know why these guys, why are these our options?
Yeah.
In this political, another election with this option. Really?
Yeah.
We can't do better than this. So
yeah,
I think there's like this gap between sort of what people want and what the American political system has created.
Yeah.
And I think part of that creation is because the extremes get the most attention.
Right.
Social media bubbles have caused a lot of people to go down rabbit holes and sort of positively reinforce conspiracies or anger or whatever. All these social media things, they just feed off anger and they don't feed off of like the kind of balanced centrist work across the aisle. We're all on the same team, even though we may disagree politically.
Right.
And so anyway, catch us up on the specifics of your work. Who have you been working with and when did this start for you?
Yes. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And it's great to see this studio too. Congrats on pretty cool studio. And I see the Packers jerseys and among the updates since I last came on is I officially became a Packers shareholder.
Dude,
went to the meeting.
Yeah, you went to the meeting.
Went to the meeting, stuck through the end of the audit committee update, where at that point, most people have left the stadium.
You're like, I get a beer now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was worth it. And but yeah, to your point, I've seen these trends in our democracy and they're unsustainable in terms of the level of vitriol, the toxic polarization. Mm-hmm. Now, 2/3 of Americans see people of the other side as being not just different, but evil.
Yeah.
And that's not a culture in which a diverse democracy can exist or thrive. And so I've worked over the years on helping leaders work together across lines of difference, including the political aisle, which I now I know it sounds radical, like how do you get these people to work together? But the reality is exactly what you said, Charlie, which is when you're talking in person and you have the opportunity to listen and see the humanity in another person, you surprisingly have a lot of areas of common ground. And so it's about how do you create that conversation? And I realized a few years ago that we have a intense need to scale up that kind of conversation. You know, it happens in so many isolated ways around the country, including here in Wisconsin. But how do you scale that up? And that, I believe, happens through culture. It happens through storytelling. Entertainment is a huge part of that. And that's why I'm now leading a group called Bridge Entertainment Labs to do that. I'm working with Arnold Schwarzenegger's Policy Institute, called the Schwarzenegger Institute, as a senior fellow to do that as well. And is trying to find ways that we can elevate what you and I might call like Midwest nice to a higher level of consciousness in our country.
Yeah. And what roadblocks are you coming into? What roadblocks are you facing? Who are the people that are standing in the way, and what do they stand to gain by standing in the way of sort of civility in politics?
Well, you pointed to a lot of them in terms of how social media works, and we're in these echo chambers. And the truth is that division is profitable. There is what I call an outrage industrial complex that makes a ton of money when they're sending you messages on social or email, now increasingly on text message. Maybe you get hit up with those mass texts. And it's meant to scare you, and it's meant to make you feel alarmed and angry. And when you do that, the system profits, because either they're directly getting your money, or at the very least, they're getting your eyeballs and your attention. And so that's at the root of the problem right now. And meanwhile, you have politicians and political parties and political media pundits who know that if you feed into that division, you're going to get more traction. And as someone who's been on all the major cable news outlets, I can tell you, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News, you have to play into that. Otherwise, you're not getting called back. And so it's going to take a group of people, what I call the exhausted majority, to combat that system and change the incentives. And you can change political incentives, which I've worked many years on, that is dealing with the money in politics and opening up the primary system, because to your point, the extremes do take up the oxygen by design. Or and on top of those political incentive changes, there's also the cultural piece. Do we see portrayals of leaders or citizens listening to people who they disagree with? And we saw an interesting example this past spring. There's this movie called Civil War. I think you've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it depicts a second American Civil War, where you have a few states that have seceded and they're going up against, in the movie, they portray a third term American president. And
what president would ever suggest running for a third term?
You know, I don't know where they got that idea from.
Wow. Interesting. But,
the director, Alex Garland, he is the son of journalists. And so for folks who haven't seen it, the movie is through the lens of American journalists who are going from New York to D.C. and witnessing the horrifying scenes along the way. But the interesting thing from that is the cast, who I had the opportunity to meet with and advise and share some solutions to polarization as they were about to go on their global press tour, was, you know, one of the actors, for example, Wagner Moura, he said, "I realized through filming this movie, how important it is to be listening to people whom I disagree with." Mm. And Nick Offerman, who plays that third term president, spoke to that as well, that we need to be having real conversations now. And so I think even the cast members who were not politically oriented or active before the movie, were not concerned day to day with issues of polarization, they saw that this is a real threat to our country and they want to be a part of the solution. So more of that, more where you have cultural influencers who are modeling what healthy conversation and healthy disagreement can look like.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really cool. That's certainly something that I try to do here actually on this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know that I always succeed. And there's a lot of temptations, like, you know, you've got Trump, you know, saying that Milwaukee's a horrible city, for instance. I mean, you hear something like that, and part of me is like, I want to combat that by, you know, saying something about that, that says you don't know Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Every time you come here, it's in an armored vehicle. You go to some place to either gain money or push, you know, your politics. And then you leave. What do you even know about Milwaukee?
Right.
But it's like, what is even the point of that? I mean, is that just another proxy war for like anger? And is that just like because he'll say, I never said it, you know, and the people who want to believe him will believe him. The people who don't want to believe him won't believe him. And so, I mean, but how do you have real conversations about these things when truth is so far from something that people value?
Right.
In a lot of ways. And I think you brought this up with cable news. As soon as Fox News became Fox News, and I'm just using Fox News not because it's on the right, but because Fox News was the first news station to say, we're going all in on, we are a right-leaning organization.
Right.
Which then brought on hard left-leaning, you know, MSNBC and all that. And I feel like the more technology has progressed, the more we become polarized.
Right.
And I think that one thing we have to do is, you know, look at these social media platforms and figure out, is there a way to realistically get these social media organizations that benefit off of political polarization to say, this isn't good, we won't do it? Is there any way to hold them accountable?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most promising solutions that I see, and I talked about this actually when I ran for office here in Wisconsin, was the importance of not regulating speech, which is often where the controversy comes from around this conversation, is regulating the algorithms. Because the way the social media companies express themselves and tip the scales in favor of outrage, like, I got to share and kind of peel the curtain back a little bit on this Trump Milwaukee is horrible, you know, story, is it's an example of how the outrage industrial complex works. And I think it's wrong that he made that comment. And I don't doubt that he did. The journalist who picked up on that, a guy named Jake Sherman, who works for an organization called Punchbowl News. I've known Jake. He was the one who was sourced for all the stories that went nationally. He wasn't in the room. He was quoting, using sources that were in the room, but he knew that particular quote without any context on what was really said will travel far and wide. And the social media companies and their algorithm are obviously emphasizing a story like that, even when none of us who are in the room don't really know the context of that. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that we need to make these algorithms more neutral, essentially. And there are ways that you could do this. So, for example, on X right now, you have the two feeds. You have the For You feed, and then you have the normal feed that comes out chronologically. And I, as someone who's aware of all of these forces, still often click on the For You because it's hitting your dope, you know, it's unleashing this dopamine rush in your head so often. It's hard to not be in the For You feed. But that's a really good example of, you have the algorithm emphasized on one side and more neutral on the other side. But if you have a more neutral algorithm, I think you take some of the outrage out of the conversation.
Yeah. And but we are a people.
Yeah.
And the social media giants are run by people, kind of people and algorithms and robots, you know, kind of. So but we are in a society that's profit driven.
Yeah.
And people create profit by going down the anger rabbit hole. So people are going to be people. Business is going to be business.
Yeah.
And what's going to stand in the way?
One interesting trend I'm seeing is, you mentioned the cable news companies, all of them are losing viewership right now. Like, on a good day. So one of the reasons why I'm working actually more on entertainment is because I'm looking at the trends. I see that on a good night, maybe CNN has 1 million viewers, which is not close to what it used to be. If you look at the longer term trends, all three major cable news outlets, are you losing a ton of their viewership, and just the money is not there and the eyeballs are not there. And I think part of it is because people are getting so exhausted. So if you are constantly in this cycle of it's to me, it's like it's no different than like a drug addiction. Like you get this like short term high, but eventually there's going to be a crash, and that crash can manifest itself in a number of different ways. And people, as a result, are having an increase in mental health issues, and you're seeing just an exhaustion, and that is starting to reflect in the ratings as well. And so now there is a need for media entrepreneurs to be entering into this space and saying, how can I deliver a better product that is entertaining and useful to people and find a way to attract more viewers? And I think that's very possible. Now, to your point with the social media, you're definitely playing on human emotions, and that has to be profit driven as well. So totally understand that. But I think that each of us who use these tools can make a choice of how we want to use them. I once had the honor of having a conversation with Dr. King's eldest son at a conference that my last organization was hosting. And one of the questions that's always been on my mind as I learned about Dr. King's history was, how would he be showing up today as a leader and as an activist? Would he be using social media? Would he be online all the time, or would he not be? And so I finally got the chance to pose this question to his eldest son, Martin Luther King III. And he said, my father would be using the modalities available to him to spread messages of love and justice. So it was always about getting the message out to people and using the tools available for that. And so I do think there is a choice that each of us can make to use these tools in the right way and dramatize it. That was a big thing that Dr. King and John Lewis and these major civil rights heroes did, is they dramatized these stories to force people's attention on the things that matter. And I think we have the opportunity to do that ourselves today.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's tough. You need a lot of critical thinking for a lot of people who are having a hard time just working. Just, I mean, the keeping up with inflation, all that, putting food on the table, things are costing more, all that sort of stuff. So it's hard to get people to kind of get themselves in a good position to right. then think, okay, how can I give back to society? I think that's one element of it. But then on top of that, let's say you are in a good place, and let's say you do want to contribute positively to society. Would the solution be getting on these social media platforms and sort of educating yourself from various different sources, and what you put out, what you retweet, what you tweet, or whatever the hell it is, what you put on any of your social media platforms? I mean, so yeah. Is it really just up to the people to make this world a better place?
Yes. Yes. Radical concept. This is one of my favorite easy solutions that everyone at home can utilize right now, which is, in the same way that you want to eat a healthy diet and diversify your diet, so you don't, as much as we would want to, we don't want to eat a brat every single day, right? And I know I'm...
Speak for yourself. No. I see what you're saying.
And I know I'm, you know, you're not the right audience for for that message.
Yeah, find another analogy on the Cripes cast, all right?
You know, I just had the chance to officiate a buddy's wedding in Madison. And during one of the speeches, they shared how they have brat Mondays. They have brats for dinner every Monday. And, you know, there's something to that. But the point being, you don't want to have brats and candy or other food that could be bad for your system on a daily basis. This is, of course, okay to have it once a while. And so the message is to diversify your diet. And the same exact thing applies to your personal media intake. You want to diversify your media diet. And that is something we have the power to do every single day. And what that means is that you want to follow a variety of news sources, not just on the left, right, and center, but another key distinction is establishment versus more independent sources. So, for example, and it doesn't mean that you're tuning into news that you agree with all the time. But for example, if you're reading the New York Times every day, you might want to tune into and hear what people on the Joe Rogan podcast are saying, or if you're looking for a conservative commentator, someone like David French is really interesting to listen to. They're probably, you know, if you're finding a way to, you know, hear what, you know, Jimmy Kimmel might be saying on an evening monologue, and, you know, maybe you hear a few things that Ben Shapiro is saying, you know, that's a diverse media diet right there. And similarly with your social media, you know, you follow a number of different outlets. So diversify your media diet is the main message there. And that's one way that you can combat the polarization system and take this into your own hands.
So you've mentioned a few people that you would recommend listening to diversify your media diet. Mm-hmm. Do you have any organizations sort of in the middle, those independent journalism? Because it would be great to get your sort of sign off being an expert in these. Cause I feel like a lot of people, they're like, okay, great. I'd like to find great local news organizations, but how do I know if what I'm reading, if these are an actual good organization? Yeah. Just have a few organizations in the middle that you can point people to.
Yeah. I'll share two and then I'll make a broader point after that. So the two that are really cutting against the grain to, I think, present more fair, combination of perspectives. One is called allsides.com, which is an organization in the space that I come from, the depolarization space, and they're providing news from these different perspectives and helping aggregate these different perspectives as well. So you know kind of what you're reading before you read it. The second is, you know, it's so interesting. I've seen a number of these former anchors on CNN or other major news outlets who become sort of like reformed. And one really good example is Jessica Yellen, the former CNN anchor at the White House. She now has a great effort called News Not Noise that you can follow. I think they're primarily on Instagram. And then one other that I'd point to is a cable news outlet that's now like the fourth largest cable news outlet. They're growing very quickly. It's called News Nation.
News Nation, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I, you know, in the last couple of years, I've sought to kind of walk to walk and be appearing on media outlets that I think are more part of the solution. And so I've done a number of appearances on News Nation. And the thing I can confidently say, having now been on a bunch of different outlets, is that with News Nation, they were not trying to advance a narrative. They were trying to advance a healthy discussion, and they were okay with nuance. Like, I went on once and we were talking about President Biden's student debt plan last year. And I was coming on as the, you know, former Democratic, you know, politician or whatever. And I said something that was complimentary of President Biden in terms of the value of that student debt relief proposal. But I also critiqued an aspect of it, which led to it going to the Supreme Court and not really creating the change that we wanted it to. In other words, some of that change had happened through the legislative branch as opposed to the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And so we go off the air, and I knew I was probably going to hear it from a few people that I just gave a nuanced, honest perspective, which, by the way, very radical to do in the national media. And some people did crack some jokes at me like, wait, you're here supposed to be the Democrat here and you're critiquing Joe Biden. And I said, yeah, I'm just saying what I think is honestly true, and that I think is important for people at home to be aware of. And to their credit, they invited me back on and many times after that. And so I'm just trying to give a little bit of the behind the scenes for people of how the system works. And that News Nation, I think, is another really interesting one for people to tune into.
Well, that's great. And then what was kind of your broader point? You said you want to make a broader point as well.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that the broader point is that there's a reason why there are only a few of them that I can point to. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that most outlets are operating under the current incentives that they have, as opposed to trying to challenge them. And by the way, that's just human nature. It's usually easier to go down the convenient path as opposed to the less convenient one. But the way that you can combat that is just, you can, like, I'm not anti-hyperpartisan news either, right? I just choose to tune into those, but then balance that with others. And so I'm not saying listen to News Nation all day, although it would be good to introduce that to your diet, I believe. But, you know, just trying to get a combination of those out there. And hopefully for any entrepreneurs who are tuning in, they are looking for ways to be a part of this. And by the way, you're a media entrepreneur yourself. I'm curious, I mean, if you have thoughts on how to kind of cut through with more positive messages, because you've done that.
Well, I've tried. This podcast is definitely, look, it's not the sexiest podcast in the world. I know that.
I beg to differ. I mean, you've got a Charlie Barron's Packers jersey back there.
Yeah, and, I know.
You know, and this Barron's branded brandy.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, if you want a little swig of that.
I don't know. Has it been? Okay. It's been opened.
It's been cracked. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Can we?
Yeah, you want
a little.
There you go. There's yeah, that's just a nice little snort for you to have there. Here, I'll have some too. There you go.
We're close to
cheers.
Happy hour. All right. Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah. All right.
News from the center, WRCE.
This is a special report from ABC News' Trump assassination attempt. I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump says it's more important than ever that we stand united after he was injured Saturday in an assassination attempt in western Pennsylvania. Eyewitnesses telling their stories of what happened at that rally. Leonard Verdetto says,
it sounded like firecrackers, really, you know, but then would realizing like, oh, man, shots were happening. That's when we actually duck. So we came to full solution, like, oh, this is shooting that's happening.
The shooter was killed by Secret Service snipers, identified as a 20-year-old man from western Pennsylvania. Law enforcement's concerned there are explosives in his vehicle. They're working to make sure the area is safe. One person was killed in the shooting. He's been identified as 50-year-old volunteer fire chief Corey Comparator. Two others were hurt. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are being briefed on the investigation into the shooting. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers lose to the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals Saturday, 6-5. Milwaukee had jumped out to an early 5-0 lead in the bottom of the first, but never scored again. Manager Pat Murphy.
Game doesn't let you do that sometimes, you know what I mean? The game treats you bad. It's kind of all came together for us with the same type of wins we had. The other teams are beating us that way. They're young, nothing to lose, playing free.
Washington manager Davey Martinez on how the Nationals offense came alive, finally.
Our bats were really good. You know, we didn't chase as much. We got the ball in the zone. Everybody made good contact today.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Bulls 96-89. In summer league action, first round draft pick A.J. Johnson with 13 points. How do you feel after his first game in the NBA?
It felt great, actually, just to be out there. Have my first NBA game. It's nothing like it. There's no other feeling like it. But I definitely wish I could have got the win. You know, it was definitely a good experience for sure.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Johnson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some showers and storms early, then mostly sunny skies developing. High temperatures today will warm to the lower 90s, but the heat index will be in the upper 90s. Our winds turning to the northwest. Some late night storms overnight. Right now it's 82.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Civic Media, we encourage
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigby Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the Cripescast on Civic Media, and here's my conversation with Stephen Olicara. the idea of creating this podcast, for instance, I've certainly tried to focus on issues, not like politics. And I hope that, you know, over time, people view it as a place that they can go to get informed on these various issues. I'm not trying to make it the funniest podcast in the world. I'm not trying to make it like the sexiest podcast in the world, but I am trying to give people information that they can take and have it be part of like their media diet. Now, the other side of that is like, it's not hitting those triggers in people as much. Like the, if I went super far down one.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.